We turn in God's Word this afternoon to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is the scripture reading this afternoon. The text is verse 4, especially the first part of verse 4, but we'll read the psalm in its entirety. One reason why I had Moses in my mind in the congregational prayer was that Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses. And there is the suggestion that the psalms that come after it are also from Moses. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but this psalm certainly fits with the experience of God's people in the wilderness, wanderings as Moses led them, as God led them to the promised land. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, or His faithfulness shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, the serpent, shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So far we read God's holy word. The text is verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. And under His wings shalt thou find refuge. His truth, His faithfulness, His troth, that's what the word troth means, His faithfulness, His true to His wordness, shall be thy shield and buckler. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, I've preached on Psalm 91 before. It was April 5th, 2020. And if you remember, that was right at the beginning of the COVID-19 lockdowns. In fact, at that time, April 5th, 2020, we were under a shelter-at-home order. We couldn't go to church, and so the sermon that I delivered was pre-recorded here, and you watched it in your homes. How thankful we can be that we're not in that situation anymore. Well, it was a very fitting sermon at the time, a text at the time to preach on, because what this psalm emphasizes over and over again is the protecting care of God. And verse 1 is really the theme for the entire psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or, to put it a little differently, he who has God as his friend, his companion, and trusts in God, and who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, will also enjoy God as his constant protector against the enemy and danger. He shall abide under the shadow, under the protective care of the Almighty. That's what we focused on in that sermon 2 years ago, verse 1 and the whole psalm, really. This afternoon, we're not going to do that. We're going to focus instead on verse 4. Verse 4 is a very comforting verse. For some of us, it may even be our favorite verse in the Bible. And there are some verses, because you've depended upon them during difficult times in your lives, they become part of you. And they become very meaningful to you. This is one of those verses. It's a verse to know when you need to remember God's care and God's protection over you. We take as our theme, under His wings. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at the beautiful figure. Second, we look at the important explanation. And then third, we look at the implied calling. Now, God uses many earthly figures to communicate to us how He cares for us and how He protects us. The Bible uses the figure of a rock. Many times the psalmist speaks of God as his rock. The Bible speaks of God as a high tower and as a strong tower. In Proverbs 18, verse 10, we read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Well, here in the text this afternoon, we have another figure. We have a very homely figure. Because in the text this afternoon, God compares Himself to a bird. And not just any bird, but a hen or a similar kind of bird. Think about that for a moment. Think of the majesty of God. Think of the utter transcendence of Almighty God above us. And yet, to His people, He compares Himself to a bird or a hen or some other kind of bird that we might know His care for us. What a God we have. What a condescending God that God wants His people to know His care for them. And this is how much God encourages His people to approach Him and trust Him. Because we can all understand this figure, even the little children, the figure of a hen caring for her chicks. And that's how God cares for His people. And what is striking is that not only is this a homely figure, but it's a figure that's frequently found in the Scriptures. All the Psalter numbers we're singing come from Psalms that make reference to this idea. In Psalm 17, verse 8, we read, "Keep me as the apple of the eye." And the apple of the eye is the circle of the eye where the pupil is. "Keep me, protect me as a person protects his eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." In Psalm 36, verse 7, we read, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." In Psalm 57, verse 1, we read, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And there's a few more verses we could point to. Back in Ruth 2, verse 12, Boaz uses this language when he talks to Ruth. He says to Ruth, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And then in Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus uses this figure in striking fashion. He says in Matthew 23, verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." That's the picture. Little chicks finding their protection under the wing of their mother. Now, to make this picture clear in your minds, I want to contrast this picture with a few things that I've seen recently. First of all, at the parsonage, we have a robin's nest on one of the lamps by the garage. And we have three little robins in that nest. Actually, we had three little robins. They all flew away Friday afternoon. They left the nest. And we've had this over the years before where robins lay build a nest on the lamp. And a sad scene that we've seen happen more than once is this. Crows come and attack the nest. Crows come, and my wife tells me that they're actually called murder crows. Crows come and they eat the eggs and they even kill the baby robins. And the sad thing is, you can see it, the mother robin and the father robin can't do anything in these circumstances. The crows are too big. They team up together and the robins just look on helplessly as the crows have their way with their babies. That's not the idea in our text. Second of all, another example, as the children may know, a few weeks ago, the third and fourth grade class at Faith Christian School had little chicks in their classroom. And the children could hold them and pet them, and those chicks were so cute. But I wonder if the children ever thought about this, that there was something very important that those chicks were missing. They had their food, they had their water, the teacher took care of that, there was a lamp, but there was no mother hen. There was no mother hen to protect those chicks. Those chicks were defenseless. And again, that's not the picture of the text. What we have in the text is a hen, or a mother goose, or a mother swan, or a mother pigeon, or a bird like that, spreading out her wings so that her little chicks have a place to hide from the enemy. Picture this. A hawk who's flying high in the sky, and the mother hen, always watching out for her chicks, sees the hawk, and she quickly calls to her chicks. And where do they go? Well, of course, they run into their mother. And she spreads out her wings and covers them so that they are protected from the hawk. And they're so covered that those chicks themselves don't even see the danger. They're so protected by the wings. They're safe and sound under the mother's wing. Picture this. A storm is coming, and there's no shelter for the hen to bring her chicks to. So what does she do? She herself stretches out her wings and covers her young under her feathers, and they are safe from the elements. That's the idea. In fact, the mother hen is so big that her chicks are completely enveloped, completely covered over by her feathers. It's like they completely disappear when they hide under the shadow of her wing. So what's the idea? Well, the idea is, first of all, protection. A mother protects her chicks. A mother hen protects her chicks. And then second of all, there's the idea of comfort. Think of a chick under her mother's wing, close to her mother's breast, where the mother's downy feathers comfort and keep warm her little chicks. That's the idea. It's a beautiful idea. And if I may add slightly to the idea, I think there's value in bringing this up. Think of how a mother hen will not just shelter her young under her wings, but think of how a mother hen, or a mother goose, or a mother duck, or a mother swan will go to work to fight. To fight against all kinds of predators in order to protect her young. A mother hen is not like a defenseless robin or sparrow. A mother hen is a fighter to protect her young, whether it be from the hawk, or from the rat, or from the snake, or from the crow. She fights, and she protects her young. What safety, what comfort it must be for those little chicks to be under their mother's wing. Well, congregation, that's exactly how it is for you and me as the children of God. That's how God describes His relationship with us. Now, if it wasn't in the Bible, we might say that we're speaking somewhat irreverently, comparing God to a mother hen, but this is the figure. God compares Himself in His love and in His care for us. He compares Himself to a mother hen caring for her chicks. Now, you and I have enemies. We have hawks. Or there might be snakes or crows that want to come and destroy us. Think of what the Bible says about Satan as that old serpent. Think of what the Bible says about Satan as that roaring lion stalking about, seeking whom he may devour. We have enemies like that. But what happens? God comes to His people and He covers them with His feathers, and under His wings they find refuge. So that the evil one really doesn't have to do with us. He has to do with God. Think about Job, right? Satan had to go to Job. Because God was as a mother hen protecting His people. Even in those sad circumstances, God was there. We have storms that come up in our lives. Scary storms with thunder and lightning. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Or an accident at work. Or struggles with children. But what happens? God comes to His people and He covers them with His feathers. And under His wings they find refuge. We have storms in life. Maybe we're teased at school. Maybe we're mocked by others. Maybe I struggle hard with being self-conscious. Or maybe I'm tempted to believe the lies that the world speaks. Or the lies of our sinful nature that tell us, if only you were different, people would like you more. If only you were different, things would be better. If only you were smarter. If only you were prettier. If only you were stronger. If only you were richer. If only you were more popular. If only you were more athletic. If only you were different. And here are all these lies attacking us, trying to take our hearts and run away with them. So that we might do something reckless or rebel or act sinfully or do something foolish. Maybe someone did some wicked thing to us and we're confused about everything. We feel guilt-ridden or we feel consumed with shame and regret. And then what do? We run under the shadow of God's wing and we find shelter. That's who the Lord is. He covers us with His feathers. And how do we do that? How do we run under the shadow of God's wing and find shelter? Well, we do that by faith. That's what faith is. God is a rock and God is a strong tower for His people. And by faith, God's people run into that strong tower and they are safe. And God is like a mother hen and God stretches His wings over His people and they hide themselves under the shadow of His wing and they are safe. And they do that by faith. Now this afternoon, Amber has confessed her faith. And yes, Amber has certainly confessed, I believe the doctrine taught here in this Christian church to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation. Amber has confessed, yes, I have resolved by the grace of God to adhere to this doctrine, to reject all heresies repugnant thereto, and to lead a new and godly life. But Amber has also confessed this. She has said, yes, I have experienced this. I know God as my shelter. I know what it is to be brought under the shadow of His wing. I know what it is to find my refuge under God's wing. I know what it is to be attacked by the enemy. I know what it is to experience hard moments in life, storms and whatnot. And I have experienced God as my shelter and my caring protector who comes to me and covers me with His feathers and keeps me safe. And now what does that look like? Well, it looks like this. It looks like God coming to you and reminding you of His promises, reminding you of His faithfulness. Even as we read it this morning, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be covetous. You have everything. You can be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can even say, what shall man do unto me? I shall not fear what man can do unto me. Because the Lord is mine. And God also gives us the faith so that we go to Him by faith. And by faith, we go to God in prayer. We fall on our knees before Him. We cast our cares upon Him. We pour out our hearts before Him. And He reminds us again, even then, in the very activity of prayer, by His Spirit, He is with us. And He hears us and He sees us and He cares. He is listening and He is faithful and He will answer us in His mercy. And then by faith, we run into God's Word. And we find those comforting passages, those feathers in God's wing of His Word. Passages like Psalm 91, verse 4. Well, sometimes we have to search for a comforting passage. Sometimes we return to a passage that is a well-worn passage we've used in our life. And we read the passage and we hear God speaking to us again through that passage. Again reminding us of His care and His sovereign control and His love and His mercy. And God causes us to see His attributes. We are reminded once again that God is, right? We heard it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We see His love. We see His righteousness. We see His care and love for the truth. We see His hatred of wicked evildoers. That's comforting. We are reminded that we can always hope in Him, and He will never disappoint us. Our hope maketh not ashamed. Our hope in God will never disappoint us. And we are comforted by these unchanging truths. Now, isn't that partly why we love the Psalms? I've thought about it again and again. What a striking thing that the Bible, God's eternal Word, should include in it the Psalms. It's so perfect. Yes, the Bible has history, which is so fascinating. And the Bible has prophecy, and that's very fascinating. And the Bible has wisdom literature. And sometimes that's difficult to go through, but that's beautiful and fascinating. And then the Bible has the whole book of Psalms too. And it's like God said, I know what my people will need. I know that they will need to be comforted over and over again. I know that they will be searching to find the right words to capture their emotions and to remind them of who I am as their God. And now here I will give them an easy resource so that any child of mine can quickly turn to it. Children, you know the trick. You just open your Bible right in half and there you are in the Psalms. And God says, I will give my people the Psalms. And there's so many psalms, and they capture the sentiment of our hearts so perfectly. A psalm that matches exactly what we're going through. God understands us and our needs so perfectly. And you understand, this is not just us finding our refuge under God's wing, but this is, first of all, how God covers us. This is God covering us with His feathers. Through this. Through calling us by the inward, effectual call of the Spirit, He awakens our faith and He causes us to turn to Him. And we turn and we hide ourselves in Him, even as He covers us with His wings. That's what the verse is talking about. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. That's what God is doing when He leads us to His Word and He moves us to prayer. He's covering us with His feathers. He's bringing us under His protective shadow. He's bringing us close to His bosom. And He comforts us. And what's the comfort? Well, the comfort is, we are safe. We are safe. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. The pestilence shall smite 1,000 beside thee and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The arrow may be sailing through the air. It won't hit you. God's feathers are protecting you. You know, I've heard the story. I'm sure this has happened in real life, but let me just put it this way. I've heard the story of a fire spreading its way through the barn and the barnyard. And after the fire was put out, they're on the ground. They're on the ground with the charred remains of a mother hen. The mother hen had died in the fire. But when the cleanup crew came to clean up all the ash and all the burnt stuff, and they went to clean up this mother hen, what did they find under her wings? Well, they found her chicks. Still alive. Chicks that had survived the roaring flames of the fire because they were sheltered under their mother's wings. Their mother had given her life for the safety of her little chicks, and her little chicks were kept safe. And that reminds us of the gospel, doesn't it? Jesus Christ, instead of abandoning His people, flying off, leaving them to perish in the fires of hell, instead came to His people. He came down to earth as their head, as their representative. And figuratively speaking, He spread His wings over His people so that instead of the fires of hell burning and killing them, the fires of hell came upon Him and scorched and slayed Him. And He gave His life and He bore the wrath of God that all those who believe in Him and find shelter under His wings might be saved from the fires. And not just have life, but have everlasting life. And now the reality is, beloved, Jesus isn't dead. He isn't some dead mother hen, you might say, but Jesus arose. He arose from the dead. And He is in heaven even right now. We saw that this past week. And day by day, He continues to lead us. He continues to cover us with His feathers, and He causes us to know His love and His care for us. That's what the passage is getting at. We are covered. We are protected. So that as the last part of verse 4 goes on to say, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His faithfulness. That's what the word truth means. His faithfulness, His true to His wordness, shall be your shield and buckler. And the word buckler, that's just another word for a shield. I've always understood it to be a smaller kind of shield to differentiate it. But it's a shield, one kind of shield or another. So we have protection. We have a beautiful figure of how God protects and cares for His people. But now moving on, all this needs some explanation, doesn't it? Because we can read all these words and we can say, how is this true? We can say about ourselves, protected? Perfectly covered? Well, what about my sufferings in this life? What about my heartaches and my sorrows and these agging pains and these memories? What about this feeling of guilt and these confusing thoughts? The point is, it often seems as if our experiences aren't always lining up with what the psalmist is talking about here in the psalm. As if this psalm is almost too idealistic. No pestilence, no plague. How many of us haven't gotten COVID-19 in the last 2 years? There shall no evil befall thee. Hasn't evil ever befallen me? Or am I not supposed to refer to these traumatic experiences in life as evil? This needs some explanation. This is important. Well, first, we should understand what the passage does not mean. And this is perhaps especially important for our young people and for those who are young in the faith. The passage does not mean to say that with regard to external calamities and disasters, we're going to be treated as God's spoiled, pampered children, so that in every instance of life, we're going to be saved from the tragedies and the sorrows that fall upon the wicked. Now, if that's how we understand this passage, then we're going to have the same kind of struggle that Asaph had in Psalm 73. When he said to himself, I have kept my hands clean for nothing. The wicked have everything their heart could desire. They're not in trouble as other men are, and they are proud. And I'm suffering all day long. Now, the point is, we're inclined to think the same kind of way that Asaph thought, to think in earthly terms. My earthly circumstances, my earthly comfort. That's how we naturally think. And then it becomes a real temptation to doubt and to question what God is doing when we don't understand what's going on in our lives. But the passage doesn't mean that if we are Christians, then we're guaranteed a long and pleasant life here on earth. It's not talking about that. What the passage is saying is this. And I will say more in a moment, but let me first say this. Although calamities will come to us and evil will come to us, part of the answer is those evils and calamities will not ultimately destroy us. I think here of Psalm 57, verse 1. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. There are calamities. But in the midst of these calamities, God protects us. Take the Apostle Peter, for example. Think of Peter when he fell into sin and he denied Jesus. And that was such a horrible experience for Peter. But remember what Jesus said earlier. He said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. I've prayed for you, Peter, that even though you will fall into deep sin, nevertheless, God will protect your spiritual life. You won't be destroyed. So the point is, evil will never ultimately obtain its purpose with you. Evil will never ultimately be the victor. God will shelter us. He will protect us so that we are preserved. That's part of it. That's part of the answer. And then what's more, we can add this. The evil in those calamities, this needs to be rightly understood. The evil in those calamities, the evil in the evils, will not come upon us. Sheltered beneath God's wing. What I mean can maybe be put this way, as the Catechism puts it. God will avert all evil or turn it to our profit. Now that is so hard to grasp, and it's impossible to grasp if you don't have faith. But this is the reality. Anything that comes to us through calamities, it's not for our destruction. It's for our good. Now this is not to minimize the evil, and we shouldn't minimize the evil. But this is to emphasize, this is to maximize the power and the faithfulness and the wisdom and love and sovereignty of God. He's in control with everything. And even though His way may sometimes be in the sea, and even though His way is unfathomable to us, ultimately His way is the way. And if it wasn't His way, then it would be the wrong way. And while He leads us on that way, whatever way it is, while He leads us on that way, He does protect us spiritually. He's leading us on. He's covering us with His feathers. He only lets things happen to us that serve our eternal welfare. And we need to humble ourselves before that and trust in Him and submit to that. He's covering us and protecting us even through the trials. Or we could put it this way. This is another way of putting it. Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image. And now, every one of us has a different pathway that this takes. God knows exactly how to renew and to shape and to mold each one of us for glory. And that's what He's focused on. And in that way, God is always covering us with His feathers. That's the first thing I want to say as part of this important explanation. The second thing, very briefly, is this. We do need to recognize just how often God is protecting us from danger. This is kind of just building on what I just said. Whether He's protecting us from outside evil, or whether He's protecting us from the inclinations of our old man of sin that dwells within us, He is protecting us more than we know. He's protecting you more than you realize. The fact is, as the Catechism states, if He would withhold His grace from us for a moment, we would immediately be overcome in our spiritual warfare. But His grace never completely leaves us. He's always sustaining us and upholding us. That's the second thing. The third thing I want to say is this, and this, I think, gets at the heart of it. This is a messianic psalm. First of all, this is a psalm describing Jesus Christ. First of all, and I think that's helpful to remember from a few different perspectives. First of all, Jesus, during His whole earthly life, hid Himself under the shadow of God's wing. He always trusted in the word of His heavenly Father. He never turned aside to His own way. He never turned aside from His Father's word. He never trusted anyone else. He always trusted His Father. That was demonstrated very clearly in the 40 days in the wilderness when He was tempted by the devil. But He trusted God's word. And every time He answered the devil with God's word. And what happened? Yes, He went 40 days without food. Yes, He was besieged by the devil. But the Lord sent His angels to minister to Him. Jesus trusted the Lord, and the Lord showed Himself faithful, true to His word. Jesus didn't lose His way, but He trusted in God, and God took care of Him, even though it was a very difficult 40 days. Second of all, think about Jesus' trial and crucifixion. Jesus had horrible things done to Him. He was made a public spectacle. He was betrayed, mocked, scourged, made a reproach of all men. But now notice two things. First, why did He suffer that calamity? Why such sorrow? Well, because of our sins. Ultimately, we could say when Jesus died on the cross, He was no longer sheltered under the shadow of God's wing. But He was exposed to the wrath of God. And the wrath of God came upon Him as a violent storm and consumed Him. And He experienced that for our sins. And that, first of all. And then second, even after that horrible experience, even after that, what was the case? Well, the case was, because Jesus was the victor And because Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice, he's also satisfied with long life, eternal life. And God gives him joy, and God gives him glory, and God again shows his faithfulness, his truth in that way. So that evil, even with Jesus, it all works for his glory, right? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and despised the shame. And now for you and me who are in Christ, what's the reality? Well, the reality is God has first sheltered us under the wings of Jesus Christ. He has covered us with his feathers by hiding us in Jesus Christ. Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is our wrath deflector. The fires of God's wrath fell upon Jesus. And we, under Jesus, as his chicks, were spared. The wrath of God fell upon him so that we, sheltered under his wings, might not have God's wrath fall upon us. And that's fundamental. That's fundamental. Our sins are taken away. And we have peace with God. There's no more fire for those who have been sheltered under the wings of Jesus. And having sheltered us under the wings of Jesus, God as our Father now certainly makes all things work together for our good. And he shelters us from every evil or turns it to our profit. Nothing that happens to us is punishment. It's not evil in the ultimate sense of the word. It's not evil. It's good. Looking at everything from the viewpoint of what Jesus did on the cross and how God covered us with his feathers there on the cross, we can truly say in every other circumstances of life, every other circumstance of life, isn't that the same reality? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou find refuge. And again, the reality is we know this and we have confidence of this by faith. That's what exudes from this entire psalm. The psalmist has faith in God. He trusts God. He's confident in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We looked at it recently. We will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And in that same vein of thought, we can say, 1,000 shall fall by my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. And we might say, if it does come nigh me, it's because this serves my good. I may be slain, but that's not evil. I'm being taken to glory, to be in that house of many mansions. That's not evil. That's God calling me home. That's my perspective. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me. Because not only am I already a victor through Jesus' death and resurrection, but even the battlefield itself, I'm fighting on the battlefield as a soldier of the cross, but the battlefield itself has been so ordained by God that every swipe of the sword I need to make, every step on the battlefield is actually serving me. That's God's sovereignty. That's God's eternal love for you. That's how God is covering you with his feathers. Isn't that an awesome thought? The whole battlefield has been laid out so that my experience in this fight has been so arranged that it works perfectly for me, that I might be brought to glory, and that I might live as a Christian. And that all things are serving my good. And now what must I do? Maybe you've got to be careful with that question. We're not implying that now I need to do something. But believe. I must trust the Lord. I must find my refuge in him. And I must trust that his wings will keep me safe. I must not run scared and now suddenly run out from under the sheltering wings of the Lord. That's not safe. That's dangerous. That's folly. Don't do that. I must abide in him. I must find my refuge in him. For my spiritual defense, I must hide myself in the Lord and trust in him. For he shall cover me with his feathers. And under his wings, I shall find refuge. Now that's the calling. That's the implied calling of the text. That's the calling of the Christian life. That's the calling of the Israelites in the wilderness wanderings. Desert wilderness for 40 years, a young Israelite, all kinds of pestilence and enemies. And there the Lord leads them on day by day so that they cross the Jordan River and enter the promised land. What an experience. And Amber, that's your calling through life too. The calling to have faith. The calling to believe. And Amber, you've experienced this before. You know what this calling is. And as we mature, we experience this calling maybe in new and fresh ways to really believe. That's where the rubber meets the road. The exhortation comes to you and it comes to all of us. Confide yourself in the Lord. Cast yourself on the Lord. Rest in Him. Hide yourself under His wings until these calamities be overpassed. Trust His promises. Cling to His word of grace. Keep the path of obedience and trust yourself to His keeping. He is faithful. He will provide safety. He will be your shelter. Hide His word in your heart. Be instant in prayer. And in all the trials and sorrows of life, never take your eyes off of Him. He's your Savior. He's already blotted out all your sins. You're the elect child of God. You have hope. We heard that this past week, some of us. You have hope. You are the redeemed child of the Lord. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. What a blessed calling. Trust in the Lord. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Well, beloved, in our own experience, day by day, may God show us again and again the truth of this verse. It is true. Every word of the Lord is true. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, what condescension that Thou shouldst give us such a homely picture so that we might truly understand and feel and picture in our own mind Thy love and Thy care for us. And not just picture it, but we experience it, Lord. We thank Thee not just for the picture, but the reality. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Draw us closer and closer under the shadow of Thy wing, closer to Thy bosom, that we might feel the warmth of Thy love. We might know Thy care. And we might know that Thou art indeed with us, over us, before us, behind us, surrounding us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us, Lord, but it is true. And cause us to enjoy it for what it is. Strengthen our faith. Be near to each one of us, Father, as we are called to walk the life of faith. Guard us and keep us. And may we see, Lord, that every word of Scripture is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.